You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Sarah Honegger.
And I'm Christy Landwehr, and you are listening to this special monthly raining episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Thursday, March 14th, 2024.
Good morning, Horse World.
In this National Reining Horse Association Reining Podcast, we're going to chat about how to get in and utilize more the novice horse division and what that looks like. We'll be talking with NRHA professional and 2023 NRHA World Champion Peter DeFrites to find out more. We will also have our new NRHA commissioner on the show, Billy Smith, to discuss the direction that the NRHA is headed.
It's the second Thursday of the month. That means it's time to slide in to the National Reining Horse Association episode of Horses in the Morning.
So, Sarah, we have been so crazy busy. Tell me a little bit more about what you've just been doing the last 2 days there in the office.
Oh, my gosh. We have had the best time. So we actually hosted the new 2024 NRHYA Officer Board here the last few days. And it was such a blast. We have such a strong group of youth leaders who took a look at NRHA's new strategic plan and figured out what their goals were for the youth association. We, of course, had a lot of fun along the way. We went and watched the Thunder win against the Houston Rockets, and it was just such a fun time. And oh man, if you need to feel inspired, you should just hang out with these youth members.
Tell us a little bit more about them. Like, what are the different states they come from? Are we talking boys and girls? What are their ages?
Yeah, it's actually really fun. We have on the team this year, age 14 to 18. So we have some that'll be high school freshmen in the fall, and we have some that'll be college freshmen in the fall. So, you know, you think about just different ways of thinking and different maturity levels, and some might think, well, gosh, that's a big gap. And to be honest, I thought it was a big gap. And then you put all these youth that have such a passion for reining in one room, and suddenly everyone's the same age. Everyone has absolutely brilliant ideas. Everyone's aiming in the same direction. I mean, it's just such an inspiring group to be with. We talked about, you'll love this, Christy, with the color training you do. We did the strengths finder.
Yes.
And, so, you know, we looked at the balconies and basements of every strength, like, hey, at your best, what is it like at your, you know, on your off days, how does this show up for you? And so we got pretty, you know, kind of took a mirror to ourselves a little bit, me included. We actually have two boys on the team this year, one from Nebraska and one from Lexington, Kentucky. And we have Arizona represented, Wisconsin represented. So geographically diverse, age diverse, background diverse. We have kids that started reining later in life, the daughter of a horse trainer, folks that want to be engineers, folks that want to be a trainer when they're older. I mean, every sector is represented, and it is a blast.
It is so good. And I know when we first started this show last year, we had a youth show and we had the youth officers come on, and they were fantastic. And we'll have to just continue to do that, because they bring such a fresh perspective and a much needed perspective of where our industry is going. I mean, you know, even so much in talking about artificial intelligence and what might that look like in the future, right? All the things that they just dive into every day with schoolwork and everything else, they can kind of bring to what our associations might be doing in the future. It's pretty fantastic.
That's so true. And, you know, they really are leaders for sure. But also I want to point out, they're really leaders in our industry, even in the show pen too. So they kind of walk the walk, talk the talk. They do all the things. Like, we have our 2023 Rookie of the Year on the team. We have people that have ran for world championships, won affiliate regional championships, placed, not even placed, won entire aged event, non-pro classes. So to your point, they really get involved in each piece of it, even being in the show pen, which is pretty awesome.
And what I have loved about them, you know, being relatively new to the team myself, just welcoming me with open arms as a new staff person. And then when we're at an event, always willing to chip in. If I'm like, we need to carry some stuff into the arena. Okay. You know, they're so good about just jumping in and being willing to help. It's so great.
It's really, really inspiring. But speaking of big trips, you just went on one to Texas and I want to hear all about it.
Yes. So, oh my gosh, it was so much fun. There was so many different aspects of it. We have, as you can imagine, a lot of our ranch partners are in Texas. And with that corporate partner status comes, well, I'm lucky enough to go visit them because I'm in charge of our corporate partners. So I got to go to one Classic Canyon. Yay to the Doe Rings. Can you imagine? Their last name is actually Doe Ring. And they run not only a reining facility, but also a deer breeding operation. I don't know how lucky that ended up being.
Prophetic.
But, oh my gosh. Mark and Lisa are fantastic. And I got to cruise around on their side by side on their 700 acre ranch, seeing not only brand new baby foals, but all these pregnant deer that are going to be due in May. So I need to go back.
You have to go back and I might just have to tag along. I want to snuggle a baby deer. I'm sorry.
Oh, I just loved it so much. And then we have Tamarack Ranch and they're also located there in Texas. And oh, what an amazing facility that is. They just moved from Oregon, Gabe and Susie did. And so their ranch is fantastic because it's so brand new, sparkling new, because they're just in the process of getting it all built up. And then was able to actually take a lesson on a reining horse. Josh and Kelsey, they were nice enough. Their last name is Crawley. They're called Cedar Ridge is where they're located in Whitesboro, Texas, at Cedar Ridge Ranch. And I got to get on Chance. He's a lovely Palomino and do some spinning and some sliding. So I did not have a bad trip. It was pretty fantastic.
That's awesome. Talk about just a widespread group of activities you got to do.
It was really neat, right? It's called perks of the job, right? Every now and then we have to have those. You don't always just want to be in QuickBooks hell or whatever, right? You want to have some fun. So yes, really enjoyed it a lot. And just a shout out to all of them for letting me visit their ranches and looking forward to the next time. We are so excited to have Billy Smith on. He has a communications, journalism, and IT background. He has worked at the American Quarter Horse Association and was recently the executive director of the American Paint Horse Association. Billy joined our NRHA team as the commissioner officially in January. Welcome to the show, Billy.
Glad to be on. Glad to be here.
So let people know a little bit. I think you told me this, but isn't Billy Smith like your actual name? Like there's no William or whatever the case may be?
Yeah, there's no. Yeah, I didn't grow up among the sophisticates. So my name is Billy Smith. I'm named after my uncle, whose name was also Billy, but his name was spelled with an I-E and mine is spelled with a Y. So there you go. Simple.
I love that. I am Christy, and everyone thinks I'm Christina or Christine, and I'm the same thing. Just Christy.
It's handy. It's handy, but you do have to explain, and depending upon certain countries like the UK, they simply can't understand how you could actually be named Billy. It's anathema to their whole culture.
That's pretty good. Well, I was happy to introduce you today because I could pronounce both your first and last name, so that made me happy. So.
A lot of people pronounce my initials.
That's actually pretty good, too. Let's not be too full of that today, shall we?
I'll do my best.
All right. We will dive right in. So, Billy, what are you most excited about in joining our team at the NRHA?
Well, in short, I'm excited about the future, and I think the opportunities are pretty rich. The only thing that limits us right now is our own imaginations.
I would agree with that. So I know that we just got out of kind of an all staff meeting where we talked about, you know, goals and things like that. And one of those goals has to do with youth. So, Sarah, do you want to go ahead and dive in here with a little bit of your youth officer chat that you had with Billy? I think it's great.
Oh, yeah. Well, we had the best time. Our youth officers, like I mentioned earlier, were in town this week. And so they had a lot of time with Billy and going over our strategic plan, but most importantly, discussing what the best type of pizza is at Hall's Pizza Kitchen. I'm not sure if anyone has been in Oklahoma City when you're here for a horse show. but it's the best rooftop if it's not blowing wind 200 miles an hour like it was yesterday. But we had the best time. And Billy, I loved them getting a chance with you to, you know, have that one-on-one time, but also since they are the future of our association, you know, them getting to hear right from you where you see that going. So can you highlight where do you see our association going and what are your goals for the near future for us?
Well, that the group, the leaders from our youth, I got to be real candid with you. It was pretty intimidating. I think one of them had an ACT score of 34 or something like that, some staggering number.
Twice, by the way.
Yeah, more than one. Yeah, he didn't just do it one. It wasn't like a fluke. He did it twice. And, you know, the thing that I think about when I was talking to them and I was listening to what they had to say, it was pretty inspiring. I didn't walk away thinking, holy cow, the future is pretty bleak. I had exactly the opposite response. That's a pretty astounding group of young adults. And if that's the future of NRHA, I'm not worried at all, except I'm fairly sure when I sat at the table, I drew down the IQ pretty sharply, pretty fast. But when you're talking about our, you know, one of our goals is to increase our membership, youth membership by 10%, but it's a part of a broader strategy of increasing our membership, increasing our total entries, and by increasing our number of professional members. So they're one piece, one very important piece of a much broader strategy.
We have some very targeted goals that I think are going to be very exciting.
Yeah, so we went through a strategic planning session, and one of the important things in that planning session is it helped, you know, the strategic plan helps us create focus and helps us focus our attention on some very specific things and very specific spaces. But in general, our broad overarching goals for the future involve animal welfare, not just improving that, but showing people how well we take care of our animals today and the kinds of things we do to make them comfortable, and the way that we make them extend their lives, and the way we take care of them. I think that's actually a pretty, it's a story we haven't told as well as we could. We're looking at expanding the training of our professional groups and the numbers in our professional groups. And we think of that as trainers, judges, stewards, and those kind of groups, because they're important leaders in our industry. We're also going to focus attention on leadership in general and helping develop leadership for the future. And that's where youth come in. Those youth who are involved in leadership at the youth level already have a head start on developing into great adult leaders. Then the other area we're going to spend some time on is developing our events and making our events even more attractive, specifically to things like television and streaming opportunities down the road. So collectively, that's about being attractive to sponsors and ways of generating additional revenue through the sponsorship circuit.
Well, I think hearing that insight is so great. You know, listening to you and having conversations with you, one of the things that I have felt so inspired by is just your vision for the future of reining and where you see it going. Do you mind sharing with those listening this morning a little bit more about that?
Well, I don't know how much inspiring I've done, but here's what I think is important. This is the opportunity that reining has worldwide. You know, what do we do as reiners and in the horse show community? Well, this is our connection with the cowboy and cowgirl. This is us doing those things. And worldwide, reining has the greatest opportunity to develop into a truly much bigger international sport than it already is. And it's just it's such an elegant sport, and at the same time, technically difficult, but also requires horses that can do things on the ranch, that kind of a horse, And it's just a beautiful sport that carries on the traditions of the cowboy and cowgirl of the past. There's really no substitute for it, especially when we look at internationally. It's just a beautiful sport.
Now, I know, Billy, when I introduced you, you know, I only touched upon AQHA and APHA, but is there anything else that you would like our listeners to know about you?
You know, I don't know that anybody is interested in anything about me. They're interested in what we, you know, what our plans are for NRHA. So, you know, I'm always interested in answering any question anyone wants to ask. I can't figure out why anyone would want to know any more about me.
Well, one thing is you do have a ranch yourself, and you do have horses yourself, and you also have grown children, and you also have a wonderful wife named Miss Mindy. So there's many things about you that I think are pretty fabulous for those that care to know more detail.
Well, if you want, but let's be careful. Okay. So what I have is a ranch in, let's just say, other parts of the world might call what I have a ranch. It is not a Texas ranch by a long stretch. I have a plot of land that has some horses on it and out in North Texas. And we love it because it's kind of out, not in the middle of any kind of dense population. But you are correct. I've been married to Miss Mindy for 40 years, and she gets funnier every year. I've always told her she could just bottle all that humor. She probably could go on stage and be pretty funny. So I don't try to do battle of wits with her, because that's a never winning thing. And so, yeah, we've hauled kids around to horse shows for a long time, including our son, who was a reiner as well. So we've been on multiple sides of the horse community and the horse show community. So we've kind of looked at it from a 360 viewpoint.
Well, and speaking of a 360 viewpoint, Billy, your kind of catchphrase is that you learn more, you know, between the end gate through the stalls. But I think folks listening will definitely want to know more about you and get in contact with you and ask questions. So what is the best way for them to do that if they want to kind of continue this conversation we all started today?
You can reach me by email. You can reach me via LinkedIn. When I joined APHA, I sent my cell phone number to almost 60,000 people in one day. That's not the smartest thing in the world. One of the critical components of leadership, in my opinion, is being accessible. And if people need to get a hold of you, you need to make it available and not try to hide from them. And I don't hide. So I'm always available. To your point about, you know, it's my view, it's from the, if you really want to understand the health of a show or an organization in the horse community, you learn it from the in gate to the barn. You won't learn it in the arena. You're going to have to learn it being backstage. And I spend a lot of time when I'm at events in that space, because that's how you learn what people are thinking.
Well, Billy, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. And I'm not just saying this because you're our boss. I'm saying this because I mean it. Welcome to the team. And it's going to be an absolute joy seeing what happens in the next few years with your leadership. So thank you again.
Well, you're welcome. And I would just say that another compelling reason for coming to NRHA is the existing staff is pretty darn talented. And I certainly would have thought twice about coming to NRHA if I thought I was going to have to rebuild the staff. So great people make great organizations, and we're, you know, I think the future is really bright.
Well, I loved hearing from Billy. And also, I just really think we're so lucky to be in an industry, and others are so lucky to be able to learn from such leadership. And, you know, that phrase of always having your door open. I mean, he really means that.
He sure does. And I'll tell you what really cracks me up. He has another great phrase that we didn't get to today, but I love it so much. He says, panic is a wasted emotion.
Yes.
It's a great phrase, right?
There's a great phrase.
Can't panic. You just got to move on. It's a wasted emotion. So I think we're going to have a lot of exciting journeys in the future. But can you go ahead and share where the best place is to find Billy's contact information that he shared with us?
Absolutely. Well, to reach Billy or any one of us at NRHA, you can visit nrha.com/staff, and it has everyone's role and kind of the department that they're in. So you know exactly where to direct any questions you have without kind of chasing around a source, which I think is super, super helpful.
And I'm so excited. Next, we're going to have Peter come on and talk about our novice horse program.
We are so excited to have Peter DeFreitas with us on the podcast today. Peter owns DeFreitas Performance Horses, which offers a wide range of services from starting reining horses to showing at futurities and so much more. Peter and his team work to bring horses and riders to reach their full potential in the show pen. They are located in Whitesboro, Texas, and Peter recently won the Novice Horse Open Level 1 through 3 World Championships on Keep on the Sunny Side. He has also served on multiple NRHA committees. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you bet. It's my pleasure.
Well, Peter, before we get into some other questions, I would love for you to just start off by telling us how you got started in horses and in reining specifically.
Well, it both kind of go hand in hand. My grandfather had horses, and they also happened to be reining horses. He was a longtime NRHA member. His NRHA membership number was actually 17.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah. So he was kind of around for the beginning of, like, when they put the association together and stuff like that. I mean, he had horses in training with Dale Wilkinson when Dale lived in Ohio. And so that's how I got started into horses and into reining sequentially.
Did you know right from the beginning that a career as a reining professional is the direction you wanted to go?
Yeah. A lot of people told me not to, but, I kind of had that in my mind. You know, when I was younger, like watching a lot of guys, you know, like Rocky Dare and Mike Flaherty and Sam Smith, you know, show and stuff, it kind of made me want to do it. You know, and so, I kind of spent some summers with some of those guys, and that kind of pushed me in that direction too. So, you know, it was always something that I wanted to do, and, you know, so kind of ended up that route.
So Peter, please explain to us a little bit more about the novice horse division. So a lot of people that are listening to the show today are probably thinking, how do I do this reining thing? And we've kind of talked a little bit in the past on the show about green reiner and getting started that way. But if somebody has truly a novice horse that they're getting started, how does all of that work? And what do you personally like about that division?
So the novice horse division in NRHA has an open category and a non-professional category. And there are three separate levels, 1, 2, and 3. And in this particular class, the eligibility is based on the horse's lifetime earnings. Like, to be eligible for the level 1, they have to have won less than $5,000 in NRHA lifetime earnings. To be eligible for the level 2, they have to have won less than $25,000 in NRHA lifetime earnings. And to be eligible for the level 3, they have to be have won less than $50,000 NRHA lifetime earnings. So it can be for horses that have not been shown much and can go all the way through to horses that maybe aren't as competitive as they need to be for, say, like one of our major events, but have won some money either along the way that they need somewhere to go show and be competitive at, or just sometimes it's used as a schooling class too at a lot of different places. Just to get horses experience and stuff like that. Part of the reason I like it and I've ended up showing in it is kind of for a few of those different reasons. You know, either horses that I don't feel like are quite enough to go show at a major event, and that I feel like could win a pretty good amount of money in the novice horse. You know, depending on the show you go to, will depend on how much added money they have in the novice division. You know, some horse shows are lower added money, but some horse shows, like at some of our major events, like the NRBC and the Derby, have pretty good added money in the novice horse. So it's a good avenue for a horse that maybe you don't think is a capable of making the upper level finals or finals at a major event that you could show in the novice horse division. And it's also good if you have one that maybe got a little behind, it got hurt, you know, it needs somewhere to go get seasoned without spending a large entrance fee like at a Derby. You know, you could go show it in the novice horse division, and I've used it for all of those things, schooling and for seasoning one and for having horses that I didn't think were maybe going to be big players, but wanted to boost their lifetime earnings or give them some credentials.
Well, we've been talking a lot about how NRHA really does have a lot of existing things in place to promote the welfare of these animals, to help these equine athletes just have a longer career and be healthy and happy. And I love that a lot of the ways you just described utilizing this class really kind of put an exclamation point on all of that.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in the class itself, you know, having three different levels, it offers you a lot of different opportunities for whichever kind of horse you have. You know, if you have one that has won and you are showing it at bigger stuff, it gives you the opportunity to school because you can show them in the novice class up until they've won over 50,000. Or if you've got one that's never been shown before, you know, sometimes you don't want to show it in an open class where you might be showing against horses that have over $50,000 in earnings, or you know, more older seasoned horses, you know, in the novice level one, it's restricted to horses that haven't won have won less than $5,000. So a lot of those horses are kind of at the same level, so to speak.
Absolutely. Well, I think it's an awesome program and great to see these horses kind of come through it. And obviously you have quite a knack for it, sweeping three levels of NRHA World Championships. What goes into hauling for a world championship and kind of what that process looked like for you?
Sure. First, you got to start with a horse that is good-minded and sound. I mean, those are kind of the two big things, and have some owners that are willing to stand behind them, because it is definitely a commitment from the owners and the rider and the horse. You know, you, for the most part, usually end up showing a better part of the year. Like last year, I think I showed Keep on the Sunny Side maybe like 24 times, which is a lot of times to go in the pen on one. And so they have to kind of want to do it, you know, because it's hard to get one through there and have them not be a team player that many times, which that mare definitely was. She was almost as good at the last time I showed her as she was the very first time I showed her. You know, we went to kind of all over from New Jersey to here in Texas showing her, and you know, it just takes kind of commitment, because if you really do want to get after it, you know, there's might be somebody else come along the way that is kind of challenging you for it, and you might have to go to a few extra horse shows to make it happen. And you know, financially and time commitment is all a big part of it.
I love all that. So Peter, what advice would you give as an NRHA pro for those who maybe are looking at going into the novice horse division, especially those that are riding kind of non-pro? What are some of your tidbits that you would give them to pursue?
Well, I think it's a great class. And even like from a non-pro perspective, if you, you know, just need to get in the pen more and you're not really looking to have to show against a upper level non-pro in the regular non-pro class, maybe, you know, you can, depending on your horse's earnings, you can enter different levels or just go put some runs underneath that horse's belt. And the same thing for the open riders, you know, like I said before, I think it's a great place to show that horse that, you know, like for me personally, last year I was only eligible for the level 3 and 4 in our aged event classes. So for me to take the mare that I showed last year and make the finals on her, it was going to take her to have the best run that she possibly could have and then potentially have to do it again. Whereas in the novice class, I could kind of show her at her comfort level and be able to be competitive. And that's one of the biggest things I like about it. And then I feel like you can keep those horses showing a lot longer whenever you can not have to ask them for everything they've got every time.
I think that's awesome advice. And if people are looking for more advice from you, they should definitely check out our Rainer magazine online. You can find it at rainer.nrha.com. And Peter actually has an entire training tips article in the February issue.
Yep.
And Peter, if they want to know more about you or come visit the ranch or speak with you more about NRHA programs, where's a good place to reach out to you?
You can look at our Facebook page, The Freitas Performance Horses, and all of our information, my number and everything's on that. And we're also on the NRHA website under the Find a Pro section as well.
Awesome. Well, Peter, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to hang out with us here on the podcast.
Oh, you bet. It's great. Thank you guys for having me.
It is so much fun to hear how folks that are really excited about the possibility of competing and reining can do it from not only the Green Raider side that we talked about, but now this novice horse side, whether they're a professional already and already are really active that way, or whether they're a non-pro amateur and they're just, you know, beginning their journey or have been doing it a while. This novice horse division sounds like a really good place to be.
Yeah, I just think the thing we don't quite talk about enough is that there really is a place to play for every single person and every single horse. You know, we have older divisions, our prime time and masters for older exhibitors. We have our youth classes for younger exhibitors, even down to 10 and under. But then to Peter's points, we also have all these great places for horses to compete, and not just by age, but also by their earnings.
I agree. And to be able to have so many opportunities is the key, right? I mean, obviously, a lot of focus is always on our big open riders and what they do and, you know, their names. But anyone can get started in reining, like me, like when I went to Texas last weekend and I got to spin and slide and giggle out loud. I just enjoyed it so much. And I'm not planning on showing anytime soon. But I'll tell you, even just finding a pro near you, getting on our pro site, like Peter referenced, when you get onto our website, you can find a pro. A lot of them are open to those types of things, and they do have horses that are well-schooled and well-versed, and they'll let you get on and try the sport. They really want others to join and be a part of what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always like to talk about it, you know, when I'm talking to my parents or talking to friends outside of the industry. You know, it would be so strange if you had a kid or a friend who really liked football, and then on your phone, you just had all these speed dial numbers of NFL players to send your friend to learn how to throw a better football. And that's what we have here. And it's really, really incredible.
That is a great way to put that. We are very spoiled that way. So how do people find out more about NRHA, our podcast, all the things?
Well, if you heard this podcast today and you want to kind of look at our archive and see what other conversations we've had and maybe take a listen, you can visit nrha.com/podcast. Or if Peter inspired you to go find a professional in your area, you can go to nrha.com/findapro.
Now go out there and have the slide of your life.